Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to another episode of Podcast P, presented to you by Prize Picks, a Wave Sports and Entertainment original. We are here in Vegas during the NBA Summer League once again at my very own barbershop. Make sure y'all come check that out. Today we have another special guest. He is the next up-and-coming two-way star. Pretty sure he'll be an all-star next season. The kid is phenomenal and probably, I'm going to go out and say you probably got the best three-point celebration at this point.
Ooh, I like that.
My boy, Mikal Bridges.
I like that. Oh, thanks. Hold on, my guy. Appreciate y'all.
Y'all got to do it one time.
Do it one time for Now, you since like we this. In the like barber, like how you do it?
Like this.
It's three. Okay. I'm an old man. I'm doing I had to learn all that shit. So how you do it, just give me one more time.
It's a head turn. Yeah, you don't got to do this.
So what you do, just point?
Just head turn.
Head turn. No body jacket.
Yeah, there you go.
That boy, you stiff as hell.
Quit playing with me.
Stiff as hell.
Anyways, we got to ask this question because we in a barbershop. This ain't even my real first question for you, but it's just a question. What's the most expensive haircut you ever paid for? Man. Before you got the paper, put it like that. Before you got all the paper.
Before I got the bread?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I thought like 100 was crazy. Like in college? Yeah, 100 was nuts. Like if it's not 20, yeah, it's like what 100 else?
100 in college is crazy.
It's crazy.
That's 100%. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's like, yeah, somebody do 100, it's like very, very. I think it was kind of going to pre-draft and like right before the draft. Yeah. Like I paid for like 100. I'm like, no, I don't got that. I didn't get drafted yet. Like, damn. But I'll say 100 when I was
before I got the bread. What you paying now?
Pretty much like 100. If I go to shop around like 70 or 200. But if he comes to house calls, like a couple hundred.
This one pay
200. At 200. He always don't start these. He be trying to jack my price up. $200.
It's a lot of money.
But you still go to a barber? Like you go? You'll go inside a barbershop.
It depends. Like especially if I just. Because sometimes they have the whole layout and stuff.
Usually, it makes it easier.
Yeah, it makes it easier. You know, they do all the top tiles and all that stuff. Let them, you know, they feel comfortable in there. So
the most you're going to spend is 100?
200.
200. 200, 200. Rich people shit.
Look, the NBA season is done, but that doesn't mean that Prize Picks is. Jackie, what's the next sport that's making you some money?
Baseball, baby! I'm up big thanks to my guys Julio Rodriguez and Pete Alonso, who are helping me cash in this season. But wait, Dallas, the people don't even know what we're talking about. Let them know what Prize Picks is, man.
So Prize Picks is a daily fantasy app. You pick 2 to 6 players like the video on your screen. Then you pick if they will have more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You aren't competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available.
I know how much I just won. Big, big bounty too. But let the people know what they can win at Prize Pick Dallas.
So you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. And on top of that, all first-time users that deposit and use our promo code PODCASTP will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100.
So that means if you deposit $20, Prize Pick's going to give you $20. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. And what do we say at this time, Dallas? Cha-ching! Anyways, man, we got to be nosy because we a nosy show. We like to be in your business and stuff. And we do a lot of research. So I got to know this. I ask all the players this. I ask them the inspiration. But it's a lot of sports in the world.
Yep.
It's a lot. You chose to pick basketball. But I hear you was a little teacher, too, or you want to be a little teacher when you grew up. It's a lot of stuff I know, and I'm nosy.
Yeah.
But you pick this sport.
Yeah.
So I want to know, since you didn't pick being a teacher and all this or another sport, who gave you the inspiration for this, man? Let me look at your face when you ask me this. Here.
Thank you. Inspiration? Man, I don't know. I think at a young age, I just loved basketball. My dad always told me a story He was at an IUP game, college game, and I was small, like real little, like infant. And the game was going on. He was talking to his mans, and I'm like sitting on his lap. And I'm just watching the game go back and forth, like just like up and down while they're just going up. He like tapped him, like, yo, like, look at him, look at him. I'm just like, watch. So I'm like, I guess from that point on, I knew I just loved the sport. And then, you know, you just grow up and you watch so many guys and you try all this different type of moves.
Who did you watch?
Man, a lot. Like, you one of my favorites?
Yeah.
Like, Rondo is one of my favorites. Like, Brandon Roy is one of my favorites. T-Mac is my favorite ever. And, like, KD, of course, and KD Dame, they start coming as I get older as well. But I got a younger T-Mac. Like, I had the T-Mac shoes on, like the red and blues. Oof. T-Mac definitely was my favorite, so.
That's you, Pete.
That was my guy, too, T-Mac. T-Mac was my guy, too.
Did you have the shoes, too?
Yeah, for sure. I had the white-black ones.
Yeah, the white-black ones, okay.
Yeah, white with the black little over.
Yeah.
But I also heard that you was good at tennis as well. You played tennis growing up?
Yeah, so me and my mom played a lot. You know, we were, I was only child, and that was something we just went outside and we could play, and she used to dominate me as a kid. And I used to be so pissed off at her. I used to get in a car, look out the window, like not even speak to her, like hot. And as I got older, I started getting a little more athletic. Arms started to grow.
Yeah.
I used to just whoop her, like, just like, you want to go play tennis? Like, you know, I never was the one like, let's go play tennis. Now I'm like, let's go play.
Right.
And just like, just whoop her ass every time. Just so athletic, just run over there.
You let your mama win? No, because she didn't let me win. She didn't let me win.
My grandma should be on her because she was like, let him win. And she was like, no, I'm not letting him win. So then when I got the chance, what, you think I'm letting him win? Not even a point.
I want to know about this teaching stuff, though. What's up with that?
That's still like a thing. I think when I'm done playing, that's like this thing I want to do, like second grade teaching. Just like help kids, man. Like my second grade teacher, Ms. Porter, kind of, it's crazy. Like, I don't remember too many of my other teachers, but, like, I always remember my second grade teacher and just being in that class and just, I don't know, just having fun. I don't know. Just,
no, you not, bro. You about to be a $400-500 million
second grade teacher.
Player.
But don't you know,
not about to be no teacher,
don't you
bro.
Know? But under my friends say it too, but a lot of them, they fake believe me and they on your side too. But don't you know, you see them videos when, like, the kids come in and the teacher do all the handshakes with each one and shit like that.
You
like,
want to do like, all that?
Well, you know what I'm saying?
So you want to go home and correct? Look at Charles. He got an F. I'm going to give him a C. Like,
make money, make enough money, be cool.
Yeah.
And then so I could just work a job. Obviously, you're not going to get paid that much.
I would love to have this conversation. When we fast forward and you have your own little one, and then now you think about 20 more of these, we'll have the same conversation.
Think about them. I think none of my teachers had kids. I don't think she had one.
His ass gonna be end up being a principal. We might thought you was teaching. Shit, I'm the principal, man. I can do that.
Send them to me when y'all tired.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So, Mikel, you obviously had a good team over at Villanova, but before that, during your AAU days, P talks about it, how when he came down and played for our travel team, he kind of had to reevaluate where he was at, just with the caliber of players that he was playing against. In your AAU days, did you play with any guys that ended up making it to the league where you came down and you're like, oh, man, I got to work on my game a little bit?
Yeah, so don't you like the EYBL, all that? I joined it late. I joined it going like the last 17U. And probably everybody else I played growing up probably wasn't the greatest players. And even my high school team, like being in the suburbs, like you're not playing like the best of the best. But then when I went there and went to EYBL, that's when like Booker and Julia Okafor and Cliff Alexander, like all these dudes, bro, just like, who else? Like Stanley Johnson, Kelly Oubre, all them dudes. Like they was like, I was like another level. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was averaging 20 in my high school and just doing all little things. But these guys, it's all off the dribble, off the dribble, off the dribble, off the dribble.
Right, they were saucy.
Like, yeah, and I was just off. I was passing cut. Like, I never dribbled the ball. I would cut, get layups, catch a shoot. Yeah. Like, easy stuff. So, I think when I went to EYBL, like, the first summer session or first spring session and saw, like, these dudes, I'm like, oh, like, these These dudes are nice. I didn't even hear of them until I got there. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just didn't pay attention to that stuff. So
yeah, so he was a late bloomer to the scene too. Mm-hmm. I was a late bloomer as well. Like, I didn't play probably the same time, my 17 going into my senior years when I joined the AAU circuit. And it was the same for me. Like, I dominated my area.
Yeah.
But then when I got there, it was like, I'm the 12th best player on this team. Like,
yeah, for sure.
So it was just a wake up call, but it was an experience that I took back to, you know, my community, and it was like, all right, now I have to, like, I got to go even harder now. Like,
it, yep.
You know, and so my senior year, I had a hell of a senior year, big run, you know, yeah. But I think I elevated, like, the players that I played against in my community, because they was like, oh, okay, he's on this level. Like, all right, we got to catch him now.
For sure.
So it's beauty in that. We know you had a crazy story being from Pennsylvania. You get drafted by the Sixers and then traded. Your mom worked for the Sixers at that point, right?
Yep.
Talk to us about that draft experience.
Crazy. And it's wild, because stuff you dream for, you know what I'm saying? I think I never was like, I want to go top 10. Like, no, I was just like, I want to go to the NBA. And having that dream happen and actually being very pissed off, you know what I'm saying? Like, not even appreciating the moment. And that's something, took me days to kind of get over it and, like, realize, like, I got, like, a wake-up call. Like, come on, Kel, like, you're top 10. Like, I don't care if you didn't talk to anybody in Phoenix. Like, when you got here, like, you should be, you're ultimately blessed. Like, you should be grateful. And but that night, what? I had the if you see, if it's so funny, because I know how I smile and I know, like, my facial expressions. If you see the pictures I got with the Phoenix hat on, like, fakest smile in the world, like, just like, like, whatever. Like, I was hot. Oh, hot. Didn't go out.
Yeah.
When we got back hotel.
You didn't want to celebrate none of that.
No, I was pissed off. And I had this excuse. I'm like, oh, I got an early flight tomorrow. I got to go all the way to Phoenix because from New York. I'm like, man, I was pissed off, man. So
at this point, were you genuinely like a Sixers fan? Like, growing up, that was your team?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it's funny because, like, Iggy, it's so funny. Like, I was biggest fan of him. I remember, I tell him to this day, when Chris Webber came to Sixers, Iggy were 4. And I always were 4 growing up. So I was like, yeah, like, oh, like, he's one of my favorite players because he were 4. Then Chris Webber came on, and I know at the time, the NBA, like, oh, hey, like, gave him some bread, like, give me 4. And he went to 9. I hated Chris Webber ever since. I was like, this old dude, bro, come here and take Iggy's number. Like, this is some BS. Then he went to 9. I'm like, all right, like, okay, I guess I can rock with this. I like Rondo too, so I'm just starting to, like, mix things. But nah, I grew up diehard Sixers fan.
Okay, okay. Same, similar situation, man. Drafted 10th as well. Clippers had the 8th pick. Had a hell of a workout for the Clippers. They ended up picking Al Farouq Aminu at the time.
Yeah. Mm.
So it was smoke from that point on every time I played the Clippers, right? Yeah. It's same situation. It's still smoke when you play Philly?
Yeah. Like, it's always there.
It's always
there. You know
there.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cause especially,
it's bittersweet because that was a hometown, like, team growing up.
Yeah. And it's especially first couple years, I feel like I always played pretty good. Like, my first couple of years against them, and I just was always at edge. It was, like, always at edge. But, yeah, especially being in the East, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right, right.
Obviously, we got sweat, but being in Philly and playing there, like, I was just so amped. Like, I just know a lot of people in the crowd just, like, they know that night. Like, a lot of them know. I'm just like, yeah, I'm, like, make y'all feel this. Like, fuck that. Like, fuck y'all. Like, everybody.
That's right. I forgot y'all played them. That's good to get that backstory from that.
So, I want to talk about your first summer league experience. And so, you were, you know, at Villanova for 4 years. You won a national championship. A lot of guys play college basketball, but you played at the highest level.
Yeah.
And so, I want to talk a little bit about the transition to your first summer league game. Which was more difficult? Like, did you feel comfortable being on that court due to the fact that you were playing at the highest level in college basketball? Or when you got to the summer league, were you kind of like, okay, everyone's a better athlete, everyone's more skilled? What did you see there?
It's definitely the speed. Like, the speed was crazy. And also, like, as you know now, like, the speed is just maybe, like, a little too crazy. Like, the summer league is not how it is. Like, in a really good, everybody's out of control.
Right.
And I think I had a couple players on a team that play in the league that were, like, second year guys. They're just, like, telling me throughout the games, like, bro, this is not the NBA. Like, these dudes are reckless. And I remember a couple of dudes, like, just, like, ran into my knee a couple of times. I'm like, hey, bro, like, these motherfuckers trying to get me hurt out here. I'm like, yo, I'm like, then I started realizing, I'm like, nah, this ain't the league. Look, to myself, now I'm like, I didn't play one NBA game. I'm like, this ain't the league, bro. These dudes out of control and shit. But, yeah, the speed was definitely just reacting and You know what I'm saying? Everybody's nice. Everybody shoot, everybody going downhill, and definitely felt that first game.
But since we're talking about trades, I want to talk about the Nets, the trade that got you there. We got to talk about it. You need the glasses on?
Let's talk about it, man. I got a lot to talk about.
From the looks of it, to give you all the credit, you took it like a man. You had your chest out. I seen you. But I need you to tell the people out there, the fans, what's the logistics of going through a trade like that?
Tough. Really tough. Kind of in the summer, KD said he wanted to go there. You know, he said like he wanted to go to Phoenix. So it was kind of in the back of my head because – you know, we're not dumb. Like, if you want to come here, no. I was gone, and Cam Johnson knew we was like, I knew, like, so I'm like, well, it ain't Book leaving. I don't think it's DA. I don't think it's CB. I got the money. I just got paid. So they're going to cut my 20, send over there, got to try to match his 40. Cam Johnson knew, like, listen, I don't even got my contract yet, so I'm free. So they're just going to just throw me in there. So I kind of had on my mind this summer. Like, I made jokes. Like, I joke around a lot. You know, you get to know me a little more. I play around a little bit. So, like, I always made jokes to me and Cam. I'm like, damn, KD, about to come here, bro. Pack your bags. We out of here. But then it died down. And then the season came on. Just was not even there no more. Then we went to Brooklyn. Some Kyrie thing came over. I think Kyrie was – some came out like we was about to play Brooklyn the day before. And we was going to practice, and something about Kyrie coming to Phoenix, then it brought back the memories of the summer, and I'm like, oh shit, like, here we go. Shit. And then when the KD thing happened, I was just like, damn. Like, I didn't think that was really going to happen.
Right.
Even when I got to Brooklyn that day before when we was about to play him, I was fucking around, like, in the gym, like, this is my home. And I get fucking traded 2 days later. So it's like some karma on my ass for that one. But, yeah, literally fucking around, dapping the guys up that work there, like, I'm going to see you, bro. I'm going to be back here some days.
You leave it in 2 days. When do you even know it?
You think they did y'all a favor? Like, we already here. We just make it happen while they're there already.
Yeah, I wish they did it. We went to Atlanta, and then we had to fly back. I wish they just did it after the game. So let me just stay. Fuck. But nah, it was wild though. That night when it happened, I was just chilling, and then my boy D Lee, FaceTimed me. He thought he saw a ghost. My boy was so upset.
I hated that trade for y'all though.
For the team,
I loved it in the sense of you being able to take on a new role, yeah. But I hated it in that team aspect, because you and Cam were the heart and soul of that team. Yeah. Like, y'all are the defense, y'all are the energy, y'all was the shot making, the floor spacing, and did all the dirty work, like the little things. You complimented Book and CP so well. I definitely didn't like that, you know, situation, but it worked out.
For sure.
I called it. I was like, man, he's going to be a star. Like, he's got that chance and he's got that opportunity to be a star now.
Appreciate that.
I want to talk about the transition to the new team. And me and P kind of talked about it on a previous episode. And P was kind of talking about how there's a lot of role players in the NBA that if they got an opportunity to kind of be the man and just have that opportunity on a team, that they would be a star. Would you agree with that statement? Because he thinks there's plenty of guys.
For sure. 100%. Like, 100%. Like, I still got that role player in my head, like, my whole life. But it's just that every day knowing that you're off ball and you want to keep getting better, you know, like, okay, like, I could be that guy, you know what I'm saying? But you know you got to take that role. And we keep working on our games, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of guys work on their games. And just because you 3-and-D and you don't come off every pick and roll is not like I'm not going to work on it, because what if I do get put in that situation? And, you know, for teams to win, especially in Phoenix at the time, and that's guys everywhere, like, those guys don't have to start making plays in the playoffs. When times start to get tough, like, they're going to get the ball out of the two best players' hands and make the other guys, you know, try to beat you. So everybody just keep getting better. But yeah, hell yeah, I think there's a lot. I think one now, if he kind of, I think like OG. And I think OG not even really too much even of, I think he's already kind of surpassed that role player type ish. But if you give him like a mob, 100%. I think a lot of guys for sure. And just, I think for me, I just try to do it with wins. You know, like, how many guys can do it with wins? Obviously, we didn't, like, have that many wins, but that's like coming to this year, like, trying to win with doing it. You know, everybody can try to go out there and score a lot of points, but, you know, that shit really don't matter if you don't win. So that's like my big focus, trying to do it and win a game, because that makes you like a more valuable of a player.
Has it been interesting, like, Now you're getting all the team's best defenders, like on the scouting report, like you're the guy. What has that been like? You know what I mean? Before, you know, you're kind of, again, a role player, maybe the third, fourth best defender.
Yeah.
What has it been like on offense now? Like, has it been like a completely different game for you a little bit, just out there trying to analyze what's going on?
It's fun. It actually is fun. Obviously, I miss having one of the weaker defenders on me. Because, you know, they don't give a damn about you. They tired because they're just doing, I get wide open catch and shoots and back cuts. But, no, I think it's fun. I think what really helps me is that I was a guy like defending you, like in the playoffs. Like, I know what defenders kind of think. And I know, like, I think I'm one of the best defenders. And I know, like, you, for example, you can't have your hand out there. And, you know, you get your hand out there, getting a foul. And I just, that was like a big thing guarding people. And I see even like really good defenders, like they try to get too aggressive. And I'm just like watching, like, bro, like he's just going to, like, you, like Harden and all you guys, like as soon as you put your hand and touch him, it's over with. So now I'm taking that advantage. I know I'm like, these guys, they're going to be aggressive. I dare you. Like, I dare you to get your hand. Like, I'm taking a hit every single time. So it definitely is fun. But I think me being able to defend a lot, I kind of know what they're kind of thinking, and it kind of helps me a little bit. But it's definitely, I definitely miss the other side a little bit. But it's definitely challenging, and, you know, make me get better. So
you jump right into that role with ease, though. What was the first game? You went 40?
No,
30,
20-something. Bob, like the
was second
third
game. What was you had a third, big explosion?
Third game
was 40. A big explosion.
Yeah, third game.
But even then, like new fresh team, the 20 piece that you had, it was easy. Then you follow it with what, another 20, 30 piece?
No, I think I struggled. See, I think I played well. Struggled a little bit, and then just took off kind of after that.
And then after that, it was smooth sailing.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you fit right in that role easily.
Like I said, bro, I say it all the time. I got traded at the right time.
Yeah.
Like you were saying about the trade, and you think Phoenix should have done it. I think they shouldn't at that moment, because everybody was out. And personally, just for me, like I had to take on a lot of role. I had to be that guy when Book, CP, DA, C. Payne, Cam Johnson, everybody was out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I had to take on that role. I was struggling in the beginning. And then towards the end, I started putting wins together. I started being efficient. And then I was just like this whole new player. Like, I just felt good. I just felt so confident. And Book first game back was against Brooklyn. And Cam Johnson's second game back. And we kind of had almost like our full mob besides like C. Payne, I think. And everybody's telling me before the game, like, just because Book back, don't stop what you're doing. And I'm like, I can't. I'm already here now. I'm locked. Like, I want to score every time now. And I think I had 28 that game. And it was just like the offense on the team just felt so like, it was just like easy. Cause now it's like, well, now you got to guard Book, you got to guard C, now you got to guard me. And then Cam, like, you know, you cannot even be a foot helping because Cam going to spray your ass all the way over there. So it just was all coming together. And then when I got traded, I was excited. That's why I was so excited. Cause I'm like, listen, like, I feel great. Like, I feel like the best in my game right now. I'm just going to keep elevating. So yeah, it was definitely the perfect time to get traded.
And it was just such a crazy situation because you traded to a team. Brooklyn was a playoff, you know, contender at that point.
Sure was.
And you get traded there. What was the conversation with the coach? Like, when you came in, was it like, hey, we need you to be the guy? Because Cam Thomas was exploding.
Ooh, 40 balls.
He gave us 50. We was there for the 50 piece, one of his 50 piece.
He gave Phoenix 40 rounds.
Yeah, and so when you got there, that went away. Like, I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't play him as much. I don't even think he started right away when you came over there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they were just trying to move on a little, I don't know, because Cam, that's my guy. Cam tough as hell, too. I mean.
He's tough.
Man, and I just, even me, before I got there, I'm just looking at him like, all right, like, some of the shots he shoot, I'm like, man, like, whatever. But then I got there, and I started, like, I remember, like, the first day I got there, and I was shooting with him. Like, I love all like going left and shooting fades and like really fading. And like, if you don't really know me and know like if I really work on it, you might think like, the hell he's shooting? But then like he'll go in and you see me in practice making them every single time. That's how I felt with Cam because he's unorthodox sometimes. You shoot that shit like all the way over here and turn his full body. And then you go into practice, we're working out with him and he's just like doing all this stuff and making every single one. And I'm just like, you know what? All this shit, I be thinking you shoot some bullshit shots before I got here. You work on it. So like I can't even get mad at you. So I definitely had a feeling, especially with Katie and Kyrie gone and what I was doing before I got there. I was like, okay, like I think it's probably my time to shine. I was ready for it and took it to the next level.
Jackie, you're a big sports fan. How crazy do you get with your fandom? Do you ever paint your face before the game?
P, I'm wild at the game, but I can't get into that paint face stuff, man. It just ain't me. Like, I'd rather just be crazy and loud and throw stuff at the people and do all that, because that's how I am at the game. You know me. Crazy.
Yeah, Jackie gets a little too wild at some of those Clipper games, and when we're sitting on the court, it's a little too much, but I know he's always going to be wearing a jersey.
Well, if I ain't got a jersey on, I'm going to be shirtless. But anyway, I like my baseball jerseys, my basketball jersey, my hockey jersey. It don't even matter what jersey I got. And I'm going to tell y'all this, because y'all know I love jerseys so much, I'm never going to stop getting them. I'm never.
Well, if you like jerseys like my guys right here, have you heard about Klarna? It's the new smart way to pay when you shop online for tickets and merch from your favorite teams and more. And now when you make a purchase at any of your favorite stores, either online or in store, you can spread the cost into four smaller payments without interest or fees.
Just look for the pink Klarna badge at checkout or download the Klarna app to shop and spread the cost today.
Klarna. Shop smarter, ball harder. California resident loans made or arranged are pursuant to a California financing law license. You like Nipsey Hussle?
I like Nipsey?
Yeah.
West Coast guy, but you know, I didn't really know too much about him until I came to Arizona.
You ever heard the song Keys to the City? I got the keys to the city. You
never heard like that? The regular joint.
I'm just asking you.
Such a West Coast
I'm just saying. It's like, I want to know what's the feeling when your coaches and your management team give you the keys to the team. Because you're the big dog now.
His setups. I should have warned you. His setups.
Keys to the city. I'm like, here he go.
You got the key to the team now. I want to know how your mind shift right there, man. Like, how you get your mind, your mental mind, man.
Man, it's trying to win, bro. That's the thing. You know, you have 30 all you want, but, you know, that you lose, but that shit like an empty stat. Like, people don't really talk about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just like, that's like my mindset coming from college and always winning and all, like just being how I was raised and all that. Like, that's what I feel. Like, I want to come out and have 30 and lose. Like, nobody going to talk about it. Have 40 and lose. Like, no, like if you have 40 and you win, that shit is going to be talked about for fucking 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? If you have 40 and you lose, somebody, oh, damn. Kelly had 40? Oh, nice. And then just go on to the next thing. So I think just trying to win and do whatever it takes and then just kind of how the offense was and just, I feel like I could get to my spot every single time. I'm just like, well, I work on it and I feel like I can make it every time. Like, why not shoot it? And just getting pretty efficient with
it. So you don't mind having the key to the team?
Yeah, if you want to go like that, not at all. Like, I like it. Just keep trying to get better, man. This is something, didn't think I would jump this fast because, you know, I was still in Phoenix at the time when I was thinking this because this book and all that's still there. I was thinking, like, you know, I could progressively get there in a couple years, you know, be that guy. But, no, it happened pretty fast. But, no, I'm definitely ready, man. Just keep getting better and try to do everything besides just score.
On that note, you obviously were, you know, highly decorated college player, hell of a college player, a winner. You go to Phoenix, you establish yourself as one of the best role players. We on the subject of you being traded. Being the go-to guy, did you surprise yourself, like going through the process, like, oh shit, I'm him.
Man, oh God.
I'm him.
Man, dude, that's funny you brought it up because I could never crack 30. That was like my thing in high school, college, I could never get 30. I think I just didn't have that extra gear.
Well, you're not a volume shooter.
Exactly. Like, I'll just be efficient. Like, you know, I don't get crazy shots, but the shots I get, I make them. And being efficient, I have like 26, 27s. But then, like, once I got to Brooklyn, and I think the whole thing was winning. Like, I felt like at some point, like, all right, like, for us to really be out there and how many times I had the ball and all that stuff, I'm like, we kind of pretty much, I might have to have 30 to be in the game. And it just became so natural. And I never came to games like, oh, like, let me see if I get 30. Like, it was to me, like, towards especially towards the end, I'm like, why should I not get 30? You know what I'm saying? If I don't get 30, I'm like, I miss all the shots. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know how that shit go. Like, you get all the looks you want. And you'd be like, fuck, like, I shot 9 for 21. I really should have 40. Like, fuck all the, you look, you watch the shots.
Start going back through all the plays.
Man, you're like, I was wild, missed the pull up. Like, I make that shit 9 out of 10 times. Miss a couple of catch and shoots. You just like, some bullshit. So that's how I felt. I definitely surprised the shit out of myself. And then I kind of was like, okay, maybe this is who the hell I am. Yeah. And I just kept working out and kept getting a little bit better. I'm like, okay, maybe I can score a little bit now, huh?
I love it. That's how it goes, though. Like, it is trial and error. Like, once you get thrown in that fire, you be the number one option. Oh, okay, like 20 here. Oh, okay, 30 here. Like, oh, okay, like, and you start to feel that, like, yeah. Throughout the game, like, okay, I can be aggressive here. I can be more aggressive here. And you'll learn how to, like, control the game as you get through that. Like, I like to facilitate.
For sure.
At this stage in my career, more than, like, having that mindset to just go try to kill and dominate. Like, now I just want to make the game easy for everybody around me. But I know with that comes I got to be aggressive as a scorer as well.
For sure.
But you'll learn that. You'll learn that as you go. Like, and it's fun. It's a fun process of, like, hey, coming out, I'm going to be aggressive early on, like try to get going early on. Or it might be nice, like, hey, I'm gonna be a facilitator and ease my way into this one. Like, it's a fun process being the number one guy.
Hey, man, I watch tape, bro. Trust me. I see you. I learn, man. I try to learn. You're definitely one of the big guys, like one of the guys I really learn from and try to, like, emulate. Obviously, ain't nobody people fucking 6'9 can move like you 6'1. Yeah. So, like, obviously, I can't do all that, but just how you play.
Yeah, fuck. Like, I'm like, my body can't even move all.
Like, I can't even, like, I can do some of that, but
yeah.
I don't want to be a guy that just has, like, 30 all the time. Like, I want to be triple doubles and shit like that. And, like, that's what I, like, because I fuck with my teammates so much. Like, those are my guys. Like, I want everybody to eat. So, like, I want to still control the game during one, but make sure everybody fucking happy. Because I know playing off ball, being that role guy, like when booking the motherfuckers find me, like I'm the happiest motherfucker in the world. So I know if I find my boy Doe or somebody in that corner, like, yeah, like the motherfuckers is happy. I just had that role player mentality, bro. Like every time in that corner, like I'm ready, like every single time. So I know all my other guys that in that position right now, I know they're ready. So like I'm trying to definitely get there, and hopefully, you know, the offense this year, stuff can be more on that. Besides, I mean, shit, if you want me to go score every time, sure, but I like to do everything. I want to get a damn triple-double. I was close in Phoenix.
Come on, get the triple.
That's on the go. We got to mark that off.
Man, for sure.
What's the most assists you had in the game?
Nine.
Sure. All right, you got to get 10 now.
You just kind of talked about your teammates, and I want to talk about Ben Simmons, okay? And, you know, he had a great start to his career. And he's been going through a little bit of a rough patch, you know what I mean? And so I want to talk or ask you, what has your experience been with Ben so far in Brooklyn?
Great, man. Ben's my guy. I got big confidence. I got big faith in boy this year. I think him, like, you know, his back was messed up and him actually, like, going through, you know, getting x-ray stuff and them telling him, like, you have to get surgery, I think it kind of felt good for him because I think people didn't believe him because he kind of was like the, you know, maybe he was in Philly, like a little boy who cried wolf sometimes. So, like, he didn't want to play or some shit. So now, like, he would say, like, oh, I'm hurt. And people were like, man, fuck out of here. But now he's actually hurt. And people, like, still don't believe it. Right. So he was actually hurt. And now, like, got surgery. He's getting back. But he loved the game, bro. Like Ben's my guy, bro. Like, he just doesn't. One thing I just, like, always see, and it's just, like, nothing crazy. I don't even say to him, but he always has a ball in his hand. Like, even when he was out, he always has the ball in his hand. And we have, like, this little thing that goes on every time after halftime. I'm, like, the first guy out to go shoot. And it's at his home or away. He's, like, sitting in a chair with the ball, and I get up. And he, like, throws me it, and I walk out. It's, like, this little routine thing that just randomly happened. Like, we didn't talk about it. It's just, like, I get up every time, and he had it. And I was, like, yo. And then just came, like, a thing throughout the year. But definitely got faith, man. I think he's in a good place. You know, he fucks with all of us. Like, we're close. Like, he's the one talking in the chat all the time. Like, I think he just feels that, like, he has fucking a lot of friends and we all fuck with him. And obviously, yeah, we want him to score and stuff, but we ain't not pressed about it. Like, you just want to be him, be aggressive, and just play the right way. Cause, you know, when that's the thing about Ben, man, I was going, thought I was going to get drafted by the Sixers at 10. my biggest thing was like, oh, bingo, give me free points. I was thinking that coming out of college. I'm like, how many cuts and catching shoots and transition buckets I'm going to get with Ben? Obviously, it didn't happen, but now, but we played in against Miami. He played, I had 45. Like, he had an out-of-bounds play, and it was like, man, it might have been like 2 seconds left. And I remember I told him, somebody shooting a free throw. I'm like, yo, get it. You get it out. I'm running out and just chuck it. He took the ball out and just like threw that bitch full court. And I caught it at the free throw line, tapped it to myself, caught it, hit a midi at the end of the quarter. So find that clip, like Ben.
Okay, we got to get
it. We'll find it.
Yo, I know
we'll
y'all.
Find it.
I know y'all will.
I'm a big fan of Ben Simmons, man. I don't think you go, like, he still has that game in him. Like, you don't lose it. We had Draymond a couple podcasts ago, and he said it was all confidence, you know. I took his.
Jackie bad. Gets upset when he takes his question.
I took your question.
Because I had a leeway for you.
I didn't mean to take your question.
Oh. I'm excited to hear this now. There's a lot of pressure on this transition, Jackie.
This transition. Let's hear this transition.
Oh, my blood pressure be going up on this show, man.
I'm sitting up now.
Oh. All I was going to say, we had Draymond here last, not too long ago.
Yeah, for real?
Yeah, we had Draymond here not too long ago. He says, the difference between him earlier and now is that he thinks Ben Simmons lost his confidence.
Okay.
And you said you got confidence in him. But do you think if he stays healthy or get healthy, do you think that old Ben Simmons is still in him?
100%.
And do you think, and give me a reason why?
I don't know. It's just him being confident with his body and knowing things he can do. I think the things he could do with a back injury, I never had a back injury. Pray God I don't, but you know, that really restrictive, you know what I'm saying? I think he couldn't do the things he did and, you know, what happened to Philly and, you know, all that stuff. I think what messed him up, personally, I don't know. What I think, just off seeing things, is him not playing after the Atlanta game, you know what I'm saying? And everybody's still killing for, like, not laying a ball up with Trae Young right there or whatever. So I think him not playing after that, and that's all Philly just remembers, and they're going to just say that shit every single time, you know what I'm saying? So I think that just fucked him a little bit, but nah, he'd be confident, bro. Like, sky's the limit. I honestly think he's gonna be confident, especially healthy, and just, you know, new team and everybody supportive of him right now and just rocking.
You been
with
talking
him.
To him?
Oh, Ben? Of course.
JJ Redick played, you know, with Ben Simmons, obviously. And JJ thinks Ben shoots with the wrong hand. He think that's the reason, you know, why his shooting isn't, you know, at a high elite level. But I mean, I've seen him in summer workouts light the shit up. I think it's deeper than that. Like, I don't think it's necessarily him shooting with the wrong hand, because I've seen him with range. I've seen him, fadeaways, playing pickup in the summer, and he's a bucket in the midi. But as, you know, a teammate, him going through this struggle, like, how do you find ways that you can be a support system for him?
Just be there with him, man. That's, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, support him. You know what I'm saying? Obviously we want to be aggressive and stuff, but shit, like, even if you're not, whatever, like, we still here for you. You're still my man, still my brother. Like, I ain't gonna hate you, none of that. Like, obviously we want you to do this and that because I think it would be better for the team, but shit, even if you struggle, whatever, like, that's cool. Like, shit, wherever city we in, we go hang out, go get dinner, whatever, like, get ready for the next one. I think that's the biggest thing, is just he could be confident enough to fail and know, like, we're there for him, you know? And I think that's the biggest thing. I just, you know, you don't want nobody to, you feel that pressure every single time, like, oh, if I don't play well, like, oh, shit, these guys might not like me. Like, no, that's not the case. I'll just try to be there. I'm like, listen, bro, you struggle. Like, we're here for you. We want to be there through the process. If you fucking shoot 5 minutes in a row, you miss all five, fucking shoot the sixth one. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to build up confidence, the confidence in him, especially if he works on it, you know what I'm saying? So, nah, just being there for him no matter what.
That's good. I think it's worth sharing. Injuries obviously play a big part in what we do. And in his situation, bro, it's so hard because the media kills you if you don't perform or live up to an expectation. But sometimes it is tough to play under the circumstances. Like, we're playing against the elite, the best athletes, the best runners, jumpers, top of the top of the world's athletes. And if you're not 100%, like, it's going to be exposed. You know what I mean? So I think that's, it's worth, you know, shining light on that particular situation that fans don't understand. It's been countless of times where, you know, I've had stuff going on, fans don't know, you try to give it a go, and it's like, you know, I'm not 100, like, yeah. Like, and you get crushed by, you know, fans, media, they make up stories and stuff like this, if only they know the real truth. So Ben Simmons, we with you, bro. We know you're going to get through it, man. Just keep powering through it. We hope you get back healthy and safe, you know, return back to elite form.
So I want to talk about this summer. You're gonna be playing with the Team USA, and just want to know, like, was that like a no-brainer decision for you to, you know, choose to play this summer, or what kind of went into that? Was that just something you wanted to do?
Steve Kerr brought up to me when I was in Phoenix, and we played him in the game. I should have had a triple-double. So close. Y'all can look up the stats on that. I think it was like 21-9-9. Cause I didn't care. Look, I didn't care about that rebound because I knew I could go get it whenever. I just care about that assist. If I get that assist, I'll go fly for the rebound. So I didn't even give a damn. I was like, if I get this assist, I'll go fucking be goddamn Dwight Howard and fucking all them big ass motherfuckers go get that shit. I don't know. I don't care. I'll find a way to get down. My body nigga go get the rebound. I don't know. I'll go get the rebound. I don't care.
Throw it off the backboard to yourself.
I'll do anything to get that rebound.
Do the mellow. Get the fuck out the way.
I got it. Fuck out of here. Well, I got off track on that. But yeah, Steve Kerr brought up to me just like the idea of it, and I was just like, hell yeah, like, yeah, when? Like, I'm here, just please let me know. And then kind of had an idea there, and then end up going to Brooklyn and playing real well, and then seeing him again and talking about it, and kind of at that point, I was really, like, really ready for it. So, definitely, man, there was nothing holding me back for that, unless I was ahead of some injury or something happening, but nah, I was ready. I'm very excited.
You know, I've stated how competitive the Team USA practices and stuff are. You got a fun young lineup that's going to go out and compete for Team USA. Who are you most excited about playing with, outside of Jalen? I know y'all. I know that's where you was going with it. Outside of Jalen.
Man, probably Ant or BI, being all the years and guarding them, and obviously like those some guys like not even struggle, just make it tough for me to guard them, and because how tough they are. So I think them two guys are probably the biggest ones. I know how competitive they are, and I know the motor in both of them. I know how freaking skilled they are. So kind of be around them and even learn from them as well. So, and just, you know, make some friends and, you know, geek about shit and be ready to go.
We rooting for y'all, man.
Man,
y'all
appreciate
gonna do great things.
So as always with the guest on the show, it's time for another edition of our Starting Five. And we're presented by Klarna, the new smart way to pay when you shop online for tickets and merch from your favorite teams and more. And so this is where our guests and PG are going to pick teams based on a specific theme. And Mikel, I don't know if you knew this, but you were P's first ever rated PG segment. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. But what it is he picks kind of a young talent in the NBA that doesn't get as much credit as he should. And he just kind of talks about why, you know, he likes him. So for this edition of the Starting Five, what I want you guys to do is pick your team only using young players that you feel have a bright future in this league. But they can't, no all-stars. They can't have played in an all-star game. So young guys in the league right now. Okay. And you have the first pick.
I got a first pick. Take your time.
Point guard first.
I got one. I'm going to put him as a PG. I'm not putting him at the two, but, you know, combo guard. Anthony Simons.
Oh, that was my pick.
Shout out my boy Anthony, man. Yeah.
I love what
Shout
he says.
Shout out my boy Anthony, man.
That was my pick. I love his game.
Facts.
I'm going to go with Bones.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with Bones.
Ooh.
Bones has flair. He's got excitement. He's got a star play style. Like, he can really put on a show. So I'm going to go with Bones.
Who's your shooting guard?
I got two. I don't know which one I'm going to use. I don't know which one you want.
Use the best one.
Who's your two?
I go Desmond Bane.
I got another two.
I'm going to go with this year's draft. I'm going to go Scoot.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Scoot. Scoot's going to be a stud. He's got that bully in him. And he wants to be the best. He's nice.
Nice dribbler.
He's nice. He's strong as shit. I like my 1-2 so far.
3, you already know. Give it to him right now.
Trey Murphy, man. Shout out my boy Trey. Trey Murphy.
Woof. I like Trey Murphy's game. I'm going to go McDaniels.
I was going to see if I could sneak him as a 4.
Yeah. I'm going to go McDaniels.
Damn.
I was trying to sneak him as a 4.
I got a good 4.
Ooh. And I hope it's this guy. I hope it is. I'm going to fucking say his name. Paolo.
That was my pick.
Let's go.
I'm going to go Shet Holmgren.
Ooh.
I'm excited to watch him.
He's a rookie this year, right?
Technically, a rookie, right?
Okay.
I like his game, his skill set. Like, I think he's going to be that one at that size to put it all together. I know my 5.
Keep saying, trying to get you, you're trying to mess trying with to fuck you, bro. Him up. Yeah, like, ooh, I got a good one.
You gonna say what he said and watch. Ah, shit, I have.
He said he don't got one, but he got one, right?
I gotta go my boy Clax.
Okay. I like Clax.
I got my boy Clax.
That's a great pick. That's a great pick out the 5.
Who you got, P?
I'm gonna go Sengun. I think he's gonna be the next big, that's a star. I think he's gonna be the next all-star big for us.
I like that you're being consistent, P. A lot of rated PGs. At least he's being consistent. You know what I mean?
That is a wrap on the episode. Mikael, appreciate you stopping through, bro. We wish you continued success.
Appreciate it.
We hope plenty of buckets for you in your future of being the lead guy and a triple double coming soon.
Man. On his way.
What's the celebration?
Thumbs in the scissors.
Paper.
I'm gonna get it.
We appreciate y'all tuning in. It's a wrap.